What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. All of our off-season coverage of the Tennessee Titans is presented by Tennessee Brew Works. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works, proud partner and official craft beer of the football off-season coverage here on 102.5 The Game. And speaking of which, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss, Tennessee Titans beat reporter for the Tennessean. If I know Nick Suss, he is on pins and needles awaiting this NFL schedule release. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hey, I absolutely remembered I agreed to do this. How are you guys?
Well, we're glad you did. Thank you for joining us, as always. So, Nick, Martin Scorsese himself could not have scripted a better Week 1 matchup than what has been reported. Jets at Titans in Week 1. There is no such thing as a must-win game in Week 1, of course. But is this a you-better-make-damn-sure-you-win game for Robert Saleh because of the narratives that will surely arise if the Titans lose?
Oh, sure. I mean, what it reminds me of is when I used to cover college football, I would tell people all the time that psychologically, if you're trying to determine who your biggest rival is, you should ask yourself, what matters more to me? The team that it feels the best to beat, or the team that it feels the worst to lose to? And most of the time, people will say, the team that it feels the worst to lose to is my biggest rival. It's not about who it feels great to beat. It's about who it feels terrible to get beat by. And right now, of the 17 teams on the Titans schedule, the Jets are absolutely the team that it would feel worst to get beat by. Because of the trades the Titans have made, because of the general perception of the Jets as a franchise right now, because of the Saleh connection, because of the Jets not having a quarterback, because of all of this stuff, it would obviously look pretty darn bad if the team that everybody thinks is tanking to get a quarterback next year shows up on your home field and beats you Week 1. Now, I'm going to downplay the Saleh revenge element of it. I think that matters a lot more to the Jets than it does to the Titans. But if we're talking purely from a how important is it to prove that you're actually better than the New York Jets perspective, yeah, that's huge.
Nick, yesterday we were talking about strength of schedule and just how unpredictable an NFL season is. The Titans were supposed to have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL last season. It ended up working out that they had one of, if not the hardest schedule in the NFL by season's end. So you look at this schedule, leaks out, Jets at Titans in Week 1, Titans at Giants in Week 3. I think it was reported that the Eagles are coming to town in Week 2. Once the schedule comes out and you start looking at the matchups, what will you be looking for to assess whether this could be an advantageous schedule for the Titans?
Good question. I think that you probably want to see a clear path to winning games in December and January. You want to see a schedule that is sequenced, that you can end the season with a good taste in your mouth, which is something that the Titans have not been super great at these last 4 years. They did pick things up a little bit last year, but they obviously ended the season on the Cam Ward injury note that soured things. But you, with such a young team, with a team that nobody's really expecting to be in the postseason, you want to stack your wins toward the back half of the season. And look, nobody wants to start 1-5, but if you start 1-5 and finish 6-11, it feels a lot better heading into a more pivotal 2027 season than it would be if you start 5-1 and finish 6-11. So I tend to, when you're talking about a team like the Titans that isn't necessarily somebody I have pegged to compete for a playoff spot, I would really like to see the favorable matchups, the favorable home games, in the second half of the season so you can feel like you have something good building into Sala's year two, into Cam Ward's year three, et cetera, et cetera.
We're talking with Nick Suss out of Tennessee. Now, Nick, we were discussing how many primetime games will the Titans get? And listen, I am hoping that they get at least one to two, but it looks like that may not happen. But shouldn't the Titan fans have a gripe against the NFL? Because even between the years of 2015 and 2025, there was a period in there, a 5-year period, where they were one of the best teams in the National Football League, even so much so that they had the number one seed with a marquee player, and they still were not featured on prime time as much as you thought a team like that should be featured. So they got an excuse now because of the last two seasons, but I think Titans should have a true gripe with the NFL when it comes to how they've marketed this team. They always talk about Nashville as a great city, but they don't market the team the way they talk about the city.
I am of two minds about this, and I don't want to be incredibly unpopular on public radio, so I'm going to feel bad about what I'm about to say. It is not the NFL's job to market and publicize the Tennessee Titans. It's the Tennessee Titans' job to market and publicize the Tennessee Titans. And look, at points when the Titans were winning, and at points when the Titans were number one seed in the AFC, when Derrick Henry was one of the faces of the league, et cetera, et cetera, they were not playing primetime games in Nissan Stadium. The Titans haven't hosted a scheduled non-flexed Sunday night football game since 2009. That feels anomalous. That feels like it shouldn't be the case, especially for a team that has made a few postseason runs in that time and been pretty good, all that stuff. But I don't necessarily see it as the league's job to put the Titans out there for more people to see. It's the Titans' job to make the league put them out there. And whether that's by building a brand new stadium, whether that's by going and investing in flashy players, whether that's by generating narrative, the NFL is about as, is the phrase capitalism coded, as any institution can be. It rewards the things that it knows will reward it back, whether that's with eyeballs or with finances or attention or whatever you want to call it. And the Titans have not necessarily been the franchise that they can count on to be the cash cow that the Dallas Cowboys are, or that the Pittsburgh Steelers are, or whichever team you pick that has a bigger brand. And I don't know if it should be the NFL's responsibility to put more of a showcase so that the Titans could be that, so much as it is the Titans' job to be undeniable.
Now, with all these moving parts in the AFC South, with Daniel Jones, they don't know how he's going to come back off his injury with Indianapolis. How will Houston look? I mean, C.J. Stroud seemed to take a step back. He doesn't look like the quarterback he was at the beginning of his rookie campaign. You got Jacksonville. Is Jacksonville, you know, really that team now that can take that next step? Can Trevor Lawrence take the next step? What do you think the storyline amongst the AFC South will be ultimately?
Ultimately, I think it ends up being Houston. I think that Houston has enough talent on that roster to be a Super Bowl contender in a very sincere, legitimate way. I think they're probably going to have top to bottom the strongest defense in the league. I still think very highly of C.J. Stroud. I still think very highly of that passing attack. They might be a little bit one-dimensional roster-wise, but I still think that their passing attack is strong enough to overcome being one-dimensional. From there, I think the Jaguars are a really prime regression candidate this year. They lost a lot in free agency. They didn't have the strongest draft. They already overperformed expectations last year. I don't know if they're a 12 or 13 win team again, so much as I think of them as probably closer to that 7, 8, 9 win range. The Colts are such a question mark to me, because when you don't have really anyone on roster at a premium position who is a top 10 talent at that position, you do have the question marks. And I guess Sauce Gardner is there and can be the top 10 corner, but beyond that, there's not a lot to think, oh, this player is going to win in this moment. This player is going to make the play we need to win the game. So ultimately, I think we're going to be talking about the Texans a lot more than we're talking about the Colts and the Jaguars. And we'll see if the Titans can make up ground. We'll see if the Titans can come up and be in that same 7-8-9 range that the Colts and Jaguars might be in. I still think they're a little bit behind, but I'm not like 100% behind. They're gaining ground. We'll see how much.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Nick Suss from the Tennessean as we await the schedule coming out. Here's one thing that, Nick, you don't know if it's going to be a factor or not, but I see where Malik Nabers had a second knee procedure. They're still hopeful he could play in week one, but with the Titans, did you say week three they're playing them, Adam?
Yes.
I wonder what the state of Malik Nabers will be coming off a major, even if he's playing, coming off a major surgery that less removed. Like they always say the first year coming back from ACL is always challenging. The backdrop of that game is going to be just as interesting, I think, as the Jets with Daboll and all of the maneuverings between those two franchises.
Don't forget Brian Callahan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that game is going to be really interesting. That is a game that, frankly, I am a little bit surprised is allegedly not getting the primetime treatment. That felt like a nice Monday night kind of game. But, yeah, if Malik Nabers isn't healthy, that changes the calculus for the Giants. That really does. I think that when we go back to what we were all talking about during the coaching search, and when we go back to, well, why did John Harbaugh pick the Giants over any of these other vacancies? The Giants have a lot of top-end talent at the most important positions on the field. You feel confident about their number one receiver. You feel confident about their left tackle. You feel confident about their pass rushers. You feel confident about their cornerback room. They have all of that, and the question is, can Jackson Dart be the right guy to make it go? So I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, the Giants are absolutely going to be favored, even if Malik Nabers isn't 100%. But I still think with or without, whether it's 100% of Malik Nabers or 75% of Malik Nabers, I still think the Giants are a team I would put maybe a rung higher than the Titans, especially if it ends up being true and they play early in the season. I do think that whoever the Giants personnel is, they should have a stronger roster at an early enough point in the season where two teams with brand new coaching staffs are trying to figure out how to win on more than just talent.
How do you feel about a game being played on Thanksgiving Eve?
Which is a real thing and not a made-up thing at all.
It is. I was ranting about this morning, and I will continue to rant about it. The best thing the NFL's done in the last 20 years was the invention of the Red Zone channel. And the more games you move off of Sunday, the worse the product of the Red Zone channel gets. I don't get to watch it. I'm sitting in the press box. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I miss it because I don't get to watch it. I'm watching the Titans. But if I was a casual fan and I was tasked between, do I want to watch Packers versus Rams as a solo product on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, or do I want that game to be in the 3:05 window with three other really cool games one weekend? I'd pick the 3:05 window every time. And so I don't love the NFL manifest destiny of every day of the week has to be the NFL's day of the week.
You're here.
But the league does not cater to the whims of the 1% audience that they already have hooked and addicted. They're trying to grow the game, and we, who are talking about the NFL on May 14th, probably are not the audience they're trying to win over. They have already won us over.
What do you think the odds are, Nick, that Jarvis Brownlee commits a defensive holding penalty on the Jets' first defensive series in week one against the Tennessee Titans?
Specifically defensive holding, or am I allowed to have like a legal contact or hands to the face?
I think you can throw them all in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's any defensive penalty, I'll say 30%.
That's high.
It's actually lower than I thought you would say.
It's still high based on one person.
It's got to happen.
Let me say this. I really, really enjoyed the time with Jarvis in the locker room. He was a go-to interview. He is a guy who says what he thinks, and I would absolutely never, as a reporter, encourage people to not say what they think. So good on Jarvis for having opinions. I hope he has all sorts of opinions.
I absolutely agree with that sentiment. Nick Suss of the Tennessean has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Nick, as always, a pleasure. I know you're just waiting for that schedule to drop. We look forward to your analysis. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, guys.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Nick Suss had to say. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at the top of the hour. 615-737-1025. Boxing fans, 1025 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win tickets to see Nashville Smash take on the Boston Butchers at Municipal Auditorium on Saturday, May 23rd. 16 rounds and 16 fighters each go at it for one round of nonstop action. Text the keyword FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter now for your chance to win.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.